Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've entered another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome in to the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Welcome into episode 3 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. We are available on all platforms, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds. My Twitter account is at DiBiase, LOE. Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, I think the city of Philadelphia, I think the NFL, and maybe just sports in general, has a patience problem. And I think the Eagles right now not only have a patience problem on their hand, but a power problem as well. I want to get into that coming up on today's edition of the show because I've watched the 2020 season, which has obviously been a complete disaster for the Birds at 4-10-1, eliminated from playoff contention for the first time since 2016, in what is, I think, the 2020 NFC East might be the worst division in NFL history, right? So obviously a disastrous season. There wasn't much to enjoy. It was funny. I tweeted out today, I was rewatching the DeSean Jackson 81-yard touchdown, and I thought to myself, that might have been the only time I actually enjoyed myself watching the Eagles this year, where I actually was having fun, and I was relaxed, and I was enjoying the product. Because even games they won against San Francisco on Sunday night, that was stressful. They were 0-2 at that point, 0-2-1. The wild comeback against the Giants on Thursday Night Football, that was fun, but again, stressful. They were 1-4-1 in that situation. Carson Wentz was playing terrible, so it was a fun couple minutes. But that DeSean Jackson touchdown might have been the only time I was relaxed. They were up 14-3, they were building a lead. The Panthers were beating Washington. It felt like maybe they were going on another one of those fun late season playoff runs. That just shows, again, 2020, we haven't had much to cheer about in general in life, but the Eagles kind of represent that. And so it's been a disastrous season. But I watched, it's funny, while nothing has gone right, I've watched the national media, I've watched the local media, I've watched fans react to this season, and the conclusions people have made, I think, show a lack of patience when maybe there needs to be some. I watched everybody pretty much rule Carson Wentz as an unfixable quarterback after 10 horrible games, 10 horrible starts. I'm excluding the Baltimore game, I'm excluding the Pittsburgh game, and I'm excluding the San Fran game. That 3-week run I thought was impressive by Carson Wentz and what he did. So I will admit, 10 starts this year by Carson Wentz were some of the worst in football, if not the worst. Carson Wentz might have been, in 10 of 13 starts, the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. 100% agreed with that. He deserved to be benched. Jalen Hurts deserved to play these final four games. However, people are now ruling him, the national media, the local media, fans, not saying it's everybody, but a large portion of people are now ruling Wentz an unfixable quarterback after 10 games versus 4 very good seasons. I'm also watching everybody assume that Doug Peterson has lost the ability to coach and to call plays after, yes, I agree, 1 horrible season. Doug Peterson's play calling this year has lacked creativity. His in-game decision making, starting with that punt to try to tie the game against Cincinnati in week 3, has been questionable. When he decides to go for it, when he decides not to, his decisions within a team's territory of 40 yards in, when it comes to personnel decisions, when he's deciding who to play between, wide receiver, Travis Fulgham or Alshon Jeffrey or John Hightower or Quez Watkins. There's been a lot of questionable things with Doug Peterson's decision-making this year with his play calling. Agreed with that 100%. But again, with Doug Peterson, It's comparing him this year to a 3-year sample size, three straight seasons of impressive coaching performances from 2017 to 2020, considering the impossible circumstances that he dealt with. The power structure clearly is just not one that sets him up for success with Howie Roseman in this front office, with the injuries on the roster the past 3 years, with losing your quarterback in the playoffs the last 3 years, with the injuries not just at quarterback but across the board. Considering the circumstances, what Doug Peterson did, you guys heard me say yesterday, not just in 2017 winning the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, but what he did in 2018 and in 2019, I view in a positive light as well. So while Doug Peterson, like Carson Wentz this year, has seemed unfixable, people now want to assume that that's what he is now, that he is a broken product as a head coach and as a play caller, and that the team needs to move on after 1 year. I'm watching the assumption that Jalen Hurts, rushing to a conclusion, by the way, after three starts, again, no patience here, that Jalen Hurts is the answer, that we know, okay, he's the guy that should be the starter in 2021 over Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz has had 10 really bad games, and Jalen Hurts has had 3 really good games. I'm watching Nelson Agholor, who, yes, was awful, like Carson Wentz has been this year, like Doug Peterson has been this year. Nelson Agholor was terrible in 2019. And he was bad in 2015 as well, in 2016, historically bad. Nelson Agholor was seemingly historically bad in 3 of 5 seasons. 100% agree with that. But I watched him last year get buried, play after play that he messed up, and to have the majority of people assume, because he struggled mightily in 2019, that, okay, we're going to throw out that 2017 season where he's one of the best deep threats in football, as well as in 2018. He was atop the league in 30-plus yard receptions in 2018 as well, surpassed 700 yards in both of those seasons, got better and better when the games meant more in the clutch late in the season. I mean, the dude caught 9 passes in the Super Bowl. He was the best receiver on your Super Bowl roster in that game. But because of the 2019 product that Nelson Agholor put out there, people assumed, okay, we can throw out 2017, we can throw out 2018. This is the player we thought he was in 2015 and 2016. No patience showed with him either in that realm. And of course, Nelson Agholor, it's to a lesser degree because we did see 2 other terrible seasons. But now look what Agholor is doing in Las Vegas. He's thriving. He has career highs in touchdowns, in yards. He surpassed 800 yards this year. He's among the top receivers in the NFL this year when it comes to 20-plus yard receptions. He's a deep threat again, like he was in 2017 and in 2018. And Nelson Agholor thriving elsewhere. Guys like Rasul Douglas, Chandon Sullivan, LJ Fort, Sidney Jones. While these aren't star players, they were players that the Eagles did not want to really be patient with. The organization themselves, the fans, the media. And now they're finding more success elsewhere. Rasul Douglas in Carolina, Chandon Sullivan in Green Bay, LJ Fort in Baltimore, Sidney Jones in Jacksonville. The Eagles were not patient with those players. Another example of this, people want to assume that Andre Dillard is already a bust. And while I thought Andre Dillard as a rookie in 2019 was shaky, he was up and down, I saw some good things, and this year he didn't play. So yeah, the Eagles themselves are concerned about Andre Dillard, but that's kind of the point, is this lack of patience, that we're going to assume a first-round talent who's barely played any football, it's already time to move on. And I agree that Jordan Mailata should be the left tackle in 2021, but to assume now Andre Dillard is not a part of the answer at all on the offensive line of the future. And look, I get it. We saw him move to right tackle in 2019 against Seattle. It was terrible. But the whole point is, with all of these examples that I'm showing is, and not even just in football, hell, Markelle Fultz, I'm watching, the Orlando Magic are the only undefeated team left in the NBA, and Markelle Fultz, the former Philadelphia 76ers first overall pick, is thriving with Orlando. I think there might be a patience problem, not within just the Eagles organization, but the city of Philadelphia itself, and I think the NFL as a whole. It's not just the Eagles, it's not just Philadelphia. The NFL, we hear it all the time, it stands for not for long, right? But maybe it shouldn't. It's just frustrating. I feel like there's no room for development, there's no room for growth, for struggles and overcoming those struggles. There's not many chances of rebounding a player, a coach. There's not many opportunities where a player or a coach gets actual time to rebound in the same place, within the same city, within the same team. Look, I get it. Everyone's job is on the line all the time. So if you're a head coach, you can't wait for Nelson Agholor to fix things, or else it's going to be your job. If you're Howie Roseman, you can't probably wait for Carson Wentz or Doug Peterson to fix things, or eventually Jeffrey Lurie will learn that you're part of the problem. And so I get that part of it and why the league is so reactionary, but I think that's why you see some of these players always, you know, every time you hear a change of scenery is always a good thing. I don't know if it's always just a change of scenery. I think that is the case in Philadelphia because it's a tough environment to thrive in, especially if you're a guy like Nelson Agholor, for instance, who I think struggles with the mental side of the game, that he gets in his own head. He can often be his worst enemy, and that's why I think he's been so inconsistent throughout his career. And then when you're in such a market, a competitive and, you know, passionate, but sometimes also unforgiving market like Philly, that can hurt a player like that. So I don't know if oftentimes a player needs a change of scenery. Sometimes they do, especially in Philly. But because you hear that all the time, right? Like with Carson Wentz, we're hearing he just needs a change of scenery. Maybe it's not a change of scenery. Maybe these players, maybe these coaches just need time. That's the thing. I think we're switching out the words. I think what we're saying by saying change of scenery is we're actually saying they need time and an actual chance to rebound, an actual, you know, chance to develop and to grow. And you don't get that a lot in Philadelphia with the Eagles, and you don't get that a lot just in the NFL and in sports in general. So, and it's frustrating, even in the NFL, especially with how unforgiving it is, even players that have had long stretches of success like Carson Wentz, I mean, the dude, again, was really good in 4 or 5 seasons. Doug Peterson has been a top-tier head coach, I think, in 3 of the last 4 seasons. Even guys like that with long stretches of success still do not get the benefit of the doubt, don't get this long shelf life. And I think Philadelphia is a perfect example of this. I think there's a patience problem. I do think I'm looking at the Eagles and what has transpired this year and what people are saying about Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, what we're seeing with players that aren't in Philly anymore thriving elsewhere, and what we're hearing even about Jalen Hurts, the assumptions already made after 3 starts. And I think that might be an issue that not just this Eagles organization has, but this city has, and I think the NFL as a whole has. Guys, today's show is sponsored by DoorDash. I just had DoorDash today. There's a new place called Pita Gourmet, where I'm from, up in Buffalo, New York. Got a nice chicken Slovakia, and guess what? I didn't even have to leave my room. I sat my butt on the computer. I watched YouTube videos for hours. I decided I was hungry. I went to DoorDash, and I didn't even have to move. You want Chinese food? They've got it. You want pizza? You've got it. You want Greek like I did today? You've got it. If someone's craving even Froyo, 7-Eleven, there's something for everybody on DoorDash. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on the DoorDash app that need your patronage now more than ever. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed right now, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. All you gotta do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you wanna eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants. DoorDash deliveries, again, are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our Locked On Eagles listeners can get $5 off and $0 in delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. Don't forget, that's promo code Locked On for $5 off and $0 delivery fees with your first order at DoorDash. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back in to this 3rd episode of Locked On Eagles this week of 5. Again, download it into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. So I'm getting into today how I'm a little frustrated with the Eagles, with the city of Philadelphia's media, with the national media, with some of the fan base, and really with the NFL as a whole. I think there might be a patience problem. And what I'm frustrated about is Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, the one guy I feel like he's going to be more patient with over anybody in the 2021 offseason, is the general manager that's been here for 10 years already. I feel so frustrated, and today was such a frustrating day on Twitter, hearing some of these stories about Howie Roseman. I'm frustrated that Jeffrey Lurie, because of the patience with Andy Reid in 2011 and 2012, backfiring on Lurie, and how he was quick to pull the trigger on firing Chip Kelly in 2015, in both those instances, appeared to be the right call. You fire Andy Reid, you bring in Chip Kelly, a new head coach, a brand new philosophy, you go 10-6, you make the playoffs, right after being 4-12. Your worst record in a very long time in 2012. Then you fire Chip Kelly in 2015, a year after making him the GM and pretty much running your entire front office. In 2016, you turn things around with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. 2017, you win a Super Bowl. So you got quick results through change. And so what I'm nervous about is that Jeffrey Lurie is going to see that, and he's going to be afraid of patience, because patience did not work with Andy Reid, and rushing things with Chip Kelly worked out. So both times it was the right call to not be patient. But the problem is I feel like Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz deserve that patience, and I don't think they're going to get it. Maybe more so Carson will get it over Doug, but that's the frustrating part is I think the guy Lurie is willing to be patient with the most is the dude we know what he is at this point. We know what Howie Roseman is. After 10 years of being a GM, you should not get patience anymore. Howie Roseman has been the GM for a decade, and he's been a part of three absolute messes within this organization that he's got to clean up. How many GMs get three chances to clean up messes that he has been a part of bombing? You look at the 2011 Dream Team and the 2012 Redeem Team. Sure, a lot of that was Andy Reid's final stand, but Howie Roseman made all those signings in free agency, in those bad drafts. You look at the Chip Kelly era. Although Chip is the one that blew everything up in 2015, Howie Roseman was a part of that roster construction for 3 years. Now in 2020, Howie Roseman is, to me, the main reason this roster is old, it is lacking talent, it is lacking young talent because of all the bad drafts, and it's dealing with a salary cap disaster. Howie Roseman, to me, is the main reason for all of that. He is the main reason for Carson Wentz and his downfall in 2020. He's the main reason for Doug Peterson's frustrations and for Doug Peterson's regression. I think Doug's offensive coaching staff is not what he wants. It's not in his image. I think Howie's been a part of all the messes, and yet he gets to keep fixing them. And look, I know he did fix it in 2016 and 2017. Howie Roseman built a Super Bowl roster, and for that, we'll always love him in Philadelphia. He should never have to buy a beer again in the city. But the majority of Howie's career, and it's not a small sample size. Again, with Carson Wentz, it's still only a 5-year sample size, and we've seen 4 really good years. Doug Peterson, the same thing. Howie Roseman, I think with Doug and Carson, you should have a longer leash. There should be more patience with those guys. With Howie, a majority of a 10-year career, he has not been a good general manager. I think Chip Kelly was right about Howie. I think that's crazy. It doesn't mean that Chip was a good GM. It doesn't mean they made the right call giving him control of the front office. But one thing that he was right about with Howie, there's a power issue there. I think Doug Peterson's collaborative mindset, his willingness to do whatever it takes to help the Philadelphia Eagles, his open-minded self, it's allowed Howie's hunger for power to not be an issue until now. But now you're seeing this week that it's becoming an issue. Doug Peterson is frustrated with the dynamic of this front office and of this coaching staff, because Doug Peterson, you talked about him saying he wants more say in personnel next year if he's with the team, because he has pretty much no say in who's drafted, you know, roster decisions. You've even heard Howie Roseman has too much say in that, not just about with, you know, Doug Peterson not getting a lot of say, but even scouts, according to Tim McManus of ESPN this week, today, actually, scouts in a story he talked about, scouts have expressed frustration that they aren't being heard by Howie when it comes to draft picks, that Howie Roseman is making calls himself and ignoring the work of these scouts who apparently wanted Justin Jefferson, but Howie Roseman wanted Jalen Reagor. So it's not just Doug that's frustrated with Howie Roseman. It's scouts as well. It's clearly Carson Wentz with Howie taking Jalen Hurts in the second round. Wentz was never behind that. I think that's one thing Chip Kelly was right about, was the power dynamic is off and it's wrong in Philadelphia with Howie Roseman. It's not just that Doug doesn't have a lot of say in the front office, in the roster decisions, in the drafting, in the free agent signings, but also Howie Roseman has too much say in the places that Doug should have more power when it comes to who's his assistants, his coaching staff. Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie intervened this year and said, after a day after Doug Peterson said, "I'm not firing Mike Groh and Carson Walsh," Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman said, "No, you are. And we're going to bring in different offensive-minded coaches that have different philosophies from your own, because we doubt your offensive philosophy now." I think there's a problem there. I think the one consistent factor in all of the Eagles' struggles throughout the years, throughout as long as Howie Roseman has been in Philadelphia, is Howie Roseman. And yet again, he's probably the safest one of these three staples of this franchise. Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. Howie Roseman is the one that's going to get the patience of Jeffrey Lurie. And I don't get that. It's crazy. Doug Peterson, even if he stays on, he might lose more power than he has already. I said it yesterday. If I'm Doug, I'm saying you're going to give me more power, or I'm going to go coach Deshaun Watson. I'm going to go to a better situation. Because I can't believe he would put up with this power dynamic anymore. It's not just that he doesn't have enough say in his own roster, but he doesn't even have full say in his coaching staff. Howie Roseman middles in that, and that is a problem. It's frustrating that it feels like Jeffrey Lurie sees Howie Roseman as like the mastermind behind your success the last 4 years. I think he's been a huge part of it. Again, you got to give him credit. He built a roster in 2017 and even in 2018, a core for those two in 2019 as well, those 3 years that could compete and win a Super Bowl and get into the playoffs and nearly make it to the NFC title again in 2018. But if you're asking me what the main reason for the success of 2017 to 2019 was, it's Doug Peterson. And yet he's the one of all three of these guys that is getting the least benefit of the doubt, the least amount of that benefit. I don't get it. It's frustrating. I mean, it's not just Doug that's frustrated with Howie. It's Carson Wentz. It's scouts. Look around, Jeff. Like, you're upset with Chip Kelly, and you're scarred by that, so you are terrified to believe in anybody else other than Howie and, you know, to give anybody else patience. But Chip Kelly, he had a point. The one point he had was about Howie. It wasn't that he should be a GM. He's a terrible talent evaluator. He was Bill O'Brien before Bill O'Brien. But Chip Kelly knew what he was talking about with Howie. Louis DiBiase joining you on this third edition of Locked On Eagles this week of 5 downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. Coming up next, we'll wrap up this edition of the show. Today's show is sponsored, guys, by BetOnline.ag. College football, we've got bowl season right now. You've got the NFL playoffs in just 1 week, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust right here on the Locked On Podcast Network with your bets, and that's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for your 50% off welcome bonus. They've got not only team bets, you've got individuals, player props, futures, all that and more. Right now, actually, BetOnline.ag just came out with their Super Bowl odds for division leaders, and the Titans are kind of the bet I like right here. A little advice. The Titans are at plus 2,800. That's interesting. I think they have the best Super Bowl odds when it comes to the most bang for your buck of these division winners. So again, go to betonline.ag, place your bets, and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% off welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Wednesday/Thursday edition of the podcast of Locked On Eagles. I'm recording at 1:30 in the morning. So however and whenever you're listening, we do appreciate you guys tuning into this third edition of the show this week. I'm getting into how the Eagles have a patience problem. I think the Eagles have a patience problem. I think the city of Philadelphia does. I think the NFL does as well. But also, again, talking about Howie Roseman in segment two, I think there's also a power problem, a power dynamic issue in the Eagles organization. I thought Chip Kelly knew that, and that's where the issues lied. I think Doug Peterson is now starting to see that, and yet Jeffrey Lurie is going to continue to give Howie Roseman the benefit of the doubt over anybody when I think he's the one that deserves it the least. We know the most about Howie of any of these guys. We've seen what he can do over a 10-year sample size, and the majority of it has not been good. And yet he'll be the one that gets the patience that other people deserve. I don't want to knock it. I hope you guys don't take this the wrong way that I'm like trashing the city of Philadelphia or the Eagles, you know, and saying that you guys are part of the problem, or that the majority of Eagles fans in the city of Philly is, you know, ruthless and unforgiving. But I will say, I do understand why guys like Nelson Agholor do need change of sceneries, and why maybe Carson Wentz needs that as well, because it depends on the way you're built. It just depends on the type of player you are, the type of person. You know, if you're already a guy like Nelson Agholor that's inconsistent when it comes to your mindset, and you just get in your own head, and confidence is a huge thing for your performance, and confidence is a huge thing for everybody in football and in sports and really just in life in general. For those kind of guys, though, Philly's a tough environment to thrive in. It's passionate, and that's a good thing. Look, Philadelphia being involved, being passionate, paying attention to their sports teams, that's awesome. But what I will say is, while often the city of Philly is passionate about their sports teams, oftentimes as well, though, they can be unforgiving and maybe even times a little bit unfair. That's just what's going to happen in big sports markets. But I do think there's a difference between passionate and oftentimes unfair or unforgiving. And I think Donovan McNabb is a perfect example of this, where, yeah, the guy never won a Super Bowl. And that's the standard Philly is holding you to. And I like that to an extent. But this was also a guy that brought you to five NFC titles. You were winning playoff games pretty much every year over a decade-long span. And it just felt like McNabb was always public enemy number one and still is in the city of Philadelphia when he's the most, you know, successful quarterback you've ever had over a long period of time. You know, his jersey's retired. And so, I don't know. I mean, that's the problem is I think it's harder, even harder to find patience when you're in a market like Philly. But it's always going to be that way, and you shouldn't change. I mean, I don't think Philly should change the way it is. But I think I do relate with some of these players, and I think I do understand why some of these guys do find more success elsewhere. But, you know, it's just, again, it depends on the kind of guy and the kind of player you are. There is players that can handle it, that love it, that thrive in it. And you saw that just a couple years ago in 2017. When the Eagles are good, when Philly sports teams are good, this city is the best place to play in. But when there are signs of struggles, I do think sometimes we're quick to jump the gun. And it's not just Philly, though. It's the NFL in general. It's sports in general. And I think that's a problem sometimes. I think there should be more patience in sports. That's just me, though. Let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter, @LockedOnBirds, @DiBiase, LOE. If you could, subscribe to the podcast. Hopefully leave us a 5-star rate and review. It's how we grow the show and continue to churn out more Eagles podcasts than any platform out there. We'll be back tomorrow, though. I got to sign off for now. Until then, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.